The text will be John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 30. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the opportunity to gather. And Lord, we just thank you for allowing us the privilege still. God, I really believe, Lord, it's not to be taken for granted that there's so many parts of this world right now that our lives would literally be on the line right now if we were to assemble like this in your name. Father, help us to just be grateful and thankful this morning to be assembled together as a family of God, as just a piece of the family and just a part of the universal body of Jesus Christ. Would you please speak to your people today, Lord, because, Father, they need you as I do. Holy Spirit, would you please lead and guide us through the scriptures that have been anointed by you, written by men, moved by you, Holy Spirit, that it would bring glory and honor to our Father, our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. So John chapter 1, verses 19 through 30, and this is the testimony of John the Baptist, the same man that leaped at the name of Jesus in his mother Elizabeth's womb. We know that he's the biological cousin of Jesus Christ. His attire, as we know, is camel's hair and a leathern girdle, which is very different. And to speak of Jesus is to speak of John, because he was the forerunner. He was the one that was preparing the way for Jesus to come, which obviously, Lord willing, next Sunday, that will be the focus, is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But John being the forerunner, as I mentioned, his dress was a little bit different. His diet was a little bit different. He ate locusts and honey. Probably very healthy, but certainly the honey I could do, the locusts I would probably do without. And his office or calling, we know, was a prophet. He would not drink wine or strong drink. He was to be set apart for a distinct purpose, that purpose being preparing the way of the Lord, as mentioned, to be a voice crying in the wilderness, a man that was chosen of God, born 6 months before Christ the Messiah. And what an awesome ministry that he had. And of course, if you know the continued account of John, he died as a martyr, beheaded for the cause of Christ. But with that being said, we pick up in verse 19 of John chapter 1. It says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews..." Now, let me pause there just to let you know that the Jews in this context, it's one of the only times, if not the only time, where there's mentioned as a group. And here specifically, they're coming as a religious group, a group that has an intent to find out who this man, who is very, very different, is. He's a different man who dresses differently, who eats differently, who has a different message than what they've been teaching. It says, "It's the record when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" This is a religious mission. Religious mission. But religion, not so much in a positive context in the book of James, but a negative context. See, religion has to keep control. It has to keep control. Religion cannot lose control, because religion's not really about God. It's not about beholding the Lamb of God. It's about holding the people. It's very, very different. There's a huge difference, and it's very, very subtle. Most people didn't realize that the Levites and that the priests were teaching wrong doctrine, because now the forerunner has arrived on the scene, the one that they've been teaching about. They've been teaching people about all of these prophecies, including Elijah, who was spoken about and prophesied about in the book of Malachi, which we'll hear about later. But yet they had no idea that John the Baptist, Elijah, had arrived and was preparing the way for the people, because religion wants to keep control. Religion will kill you. Religion will kill you. I was speaking with someone before we started service, letting them know that grace really does change everything. It really, really does. I have to grow in grace. You have to grow in grace. If you knew me 10, 20 years ago, you would know that I was different. Why? Because I hadn't grown in grace as much as I have now by the grace of God. And what happens unintentionally a lot of times is that people get lulled into religiosity. They get lulled into worshiping or trying to obey the law, to live under law and grace. You cannot do it. Paul says you're frustrating the grace of God when you try to do that. And you start to lose the people. And that's what's happening right now with this group, the Jews. The Sanhedrin, the religious hierarchy of the time, has sent them out to scope out who this, what probably they think is a crazy man, John is. It says in verse 20, and he confessed, this is John, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Humility. So you know what a cult leader would have said? Yep, it's me. I mean, think about it. John the Baptist had all these people coming to him, where? Out into the wilderness. It was very, very different. And there's people today, and there have been people throughout the ages who claim to be Christ. But John the Baptist, a true man of God, would never, ever take the glory of God. Ever. He would never touch the glory of God, the Lamb of God. He would be the man that would say, he must increase, I must decrease. God's going to choose in his womb, as we mentioned earlier, a man of God that would prepare the way for the Christ, the chosen one of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And they asked him, what then? Are thou Elias or Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. I want to call a pause, a Selah moment. I want you to think about this as I was reading through this text. This is only one of two situations in John's answer. He was asked a very specific question. If he was Elijah, he said, no, I'm not. Are you that prophet, the prophet that was to prepare the way for the Messiah? He said, no, he's not. So it can only be one of two things here. He's either ignorant, meaning he doesn't have knowledge that he's actually that person, or he's lying. It can only be one of the two. It can't be any other. It's either he is not aware of it, which I doubt, or he's not telling the truth. Why do I tell you this? Because John the Baptist, as I told you last week, just like Elijah was said to be a man of like passions, he's just a man. He is just a man. If John the Baptist was here today with a leathern girdle on, okay, eating locusts and honey, the first thing I do is I tell him to go change, okay? That would be the first thing. But if he was here, he would tell you why. Why would you put me on a pedestal? Why would you admire me the way you do? I am simply here to behold the Lamb of God. I am simply here to point the way to Christ. That's it. I mean, think about this. Let me read these verses to you. Matthew 3:3. This is Jesus speaking. For this is he, meaning John the Baptist, that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In the book of Isaiah, that was prophesied, and John fulfilled that prophecy. Malachi 4:5-6, I mentioned it earlier. This is Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah. John the Baptist is Elijah. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He says in Matthew 17:12, when the disciples ask him, when will Elias come? He says, that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but in unto him whosoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Who's that? Suffer by the religious group, the Jews. You see, he either was ignorant or he was lying. One or the other. And I think the Lord wants us to see that Elijah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, the Apostle Paul, it doesn't matter who it is, they were men. They were women. And if you read the text, they all mess up. They all fall short of the glory of God. And you and I are just like them, people of like passions. We ought not to put anyone in an elevated position other than the one that's worthy of it. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the only one worthy of it. Everybody else, bond servants. We're serving the King. Why? Because we love him so much. That's why. And so, as we move on. In verse 22, and they said unto him, Who are you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself? Now listen to this. I want to read this very slowly and then kind of break it down a bit for you. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah or Isaiah. I want to pause there. This is a mission statement. This is a vision statement. John the Baptist knew his purpose in Christ. He knew what he was to do, what he was called to do, how he was to do it, who he was to do it to. He knew it. Listen to this. Let me give you an example for a moment. Let me just read some examples. If this was not John the Baptist, well, let me read to you a couple examples that hopefully will help you. A mother. That's their function, a mother. Of several children. Who is to serve? Who? What are they to do? Raising up her children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Amidst a dark and perverted generation. Where? In Rochester, New York. To love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's their message. A dentist with over 100 patients treating people who are in need of better tooth hygiene and dental repair in Louisville, Kentucky, creating better smiles and lives one tooth at a time. A man of God serving his local community, teaching the Word of God in an expository manner weekly in Western New York so that believers would be transformed into disciples by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. I just made all those up, by the way. All I was doing was using what the Word of God says that John the Baptist knew. He says, no, I am not Elijah. I am not that prophet. I'm a voice. My function is I'm a voice. I'm a prophet. He doesn't say prophet, but he says I'm a voice of just one. Who are you serving with? Just one. What are you doing? How are you doing that? I'm crying. I'm lifting up my voice. Where? In the wilderness. Really? Yes. God has called me to the wilderness, away from all the religion. He's just called me to an area nobody else goes to, the wilderness. And here's my message. Prepare. Make your path straight. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. See, you need to know your purpose. God wants you to know why you're here. You're created for His purpose and His pleasure, and it's more specific than that. As people say, what about, they'll ask me, well, what do you do in Kenya? The same thing in Kenya doing Rochester through Rescue and Revive Ministries, rescuing the lost and reviving the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same mission. It's the same vision. I know what I'm to do. I know who I'm to do it with, where I'm to do it. Doesn't have to be something elaborate. The first illustration I used was a mother intentionally. See, we've made that calling, that office, we've put it so low. And not low in a humble way like John the Baptist. Low in prioritizing it way out there. Like it's not important anymore. I was sharing with someone a couple weeks ago, a young lady, family friend. I said, because she's a stay-at-home mom, and she's a good one. She's a good God-fearing woman. I said, read Titus 2. And I'm getting amazed at this, because actually I'm telling people to read scriptures and they're doing it. So I'm just blessed by that. So I asked her a few days later, I said, did you read it? She said, oh my gosh, it's so good. I've been reading it all week, and now I'm talking over Zoom with my friend about it. Well, what is Titus 2? Titus 2 is the calling of a mother. It's the calling of a father. It's what the older men in the church are supposed to be doing. Teaching the younger women, the younger men. It's God's word, and in context, that was Paul telling Titus, his spiritual son, you go to Crete, ordain elders in every city. And this is how the older men are to be, wise and honest. And they're to teach the younger men to be sober-minded. And the older women, listen to what they're to do. You're not going to believe this. Love their husbands. Love their children. Be keepers of the home. Chaste, discreet. And even the church now cringes at that. Where have we gone? Where have we gone? We've gone the way of Balaam. We've gone the way of the world. I'm going to speak, I don't know, and you might get offended at this, but I told my own family member this, who was well off by God's grace, contemplating if she should go back to work. The answer's in the Word of God. If you're trying to make a choice, should I go to work or should I stay home? The answer's in the Word of God. Keeper of the home, chaste, discreet, love your husband, love your children. Why? That the Word of God would be not blasphemed. We're blaspheming the Word of God in the name of, well, we have to do it. Do you know what a dink is? I didn't know. It's not a bad word. It's an acronym. I just found out. I literally just found out. I was just on the internet, and there was this young man, and he talked about what a dink is. I thought it was funny that the acronym, it means double income, no kids. And he was talking about being a dink and the advantages of being a dink. You get to go on vacation, you get to do that's all great, but guess what? As a dink, in the end, you have no one or nothing. God said, be fruitful and multiply. My riches and my gold are in my image. When you reproduce in the image of God and you raise up godly men and godly women, that's my gold. That's my silver. You say, well, you're just saying this because I have six kids. No, I'd say it if I had no kids. It's God's word. In the Old Testament, women would be shattered if they could not bear children because that was considered wealth. And if you're in a position where you say, I can't bear children, have you considered adoption? Have you considered fostering a child? God's riches are different. We learn that. His gold and his silver is different. I have nothing. Well, now I have whatever you gave me in that card. But my riches are all in the back row. Some of them are going to the Bills game today, okay? My riches are scattered, okay? My riches, I have six diamonds and a ruby. That's what my riches are. If a man finds a wife, he finds favor with God. A virtuous woman, who can find her? I did, by God's grace. She's more precious than rubies. The children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. I got six of them by God's grace. And I have some spiritual ones too. I have some I consider my sons and daughters. You met Olivia a while back. And others. It doesn't have to be always biological blood. You could be born of the Spirit. We got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to the Word of God, like John the Baptist was preaching. Hey, his message, it wasn't real complicated, was it? It was I'm preparing the way of the Lord for people to get right. All the things that are crooked in their life, repent and make it straight in the eyes of God. By himself. You see, we've got to be careful when we judge people, too. You see those guys out there, because I've been that guy, holding the sign like this, you're like, well, guess what? You looked at the sign, didn't you? You don't know what the Word of God can do. You don't know what the Word of God, a bumper sticker, a sign, you don't know. There's power in the Word of God. It's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. It transforms lives. You don't know. John the Baptist was considered a wacko. But Jesus said there's none greater. None on earth than this man. We need to know who we are in Christ. See, I get great joy trying to fit the puzzle pieces in. Recognizing people's gifts and calling upon them. Because you know what? Then the body of Christ starts to flourish. Starts to be strong. It's awesome to watch that. It's awesome. You know, I won't get into it, but you know, just watching from the back there with Barry, the security guard, just seeing God at work during the worship. So you don't always have to. Actually, I thought about going up and praying with someone. I didn't, and someone else did. See, that's God's Spirit. That's how God works. You just do what He calls you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Didn't make sense for this guy. Who is this guy? Could you imagine? Who is he? Look at the way this dude dresses. He's a fool. Have you ever seen what he eats? Yeah. Listen to what he's saying. You know who gets mad at the truth? Religion. The Jews are really upset. Why? Because he was a man of a pure heart. He was a man that didn't desire vainglory like the Sanhedrin did. He's a man that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And they, verse 24, which were sent, were of the Pharisees. You know, Pharisee means separated one. Isn't that ironic? No coincidence. They are separated from God. While they're trying to be separate from people, they have developed into a cult, and they are separated from who? God. That's scary. That's tragic. We have to be careful for that not to happen with us. It happens often without the people who are part of it even realizing it. And then you're trapped, and you don't know how to get out. And they were trying to trap John the Baptist. And they asked him and said, "Well, why are you baptizing then, if you be not that Christ, nor Elias or Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there's standing one among you who you know not." Now, it's interesting, Jesus is not physically there, but he's alive at this time. He's about to arrive on the scene. And John the Baptist is already saying, you don't know who this, there's one greater coming. You don't know this Jesus. You are teaching people in error. You don't know him. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, Jesus said to these Pharisees. And you're killing people with your teaching, leading them astray. The publicans and the harlots get into the kingdom before you, Jesus would say. See, John's baptism demonstrated the humble willingness to repent, be cleansed, and prepare for the coming Messiah. Yet John's baptism gave nothing to help someone keep clean. The work of Jesus and his baptism of the Holy Spirit represents more than John's baptism. Jewish people in John's day practiced baptism. It was an outgrowth of ceremonial washings, but only for Gentiles, that's non-Jews, who wanted to become Jews. In submitting to John's baptism, a Jew had to identify with Gentile converts. This was a genuine sign of repentance. It had a different meaning. It was like a preseason game. I never watched preseason. Preseason football, preseason. You know why? Because they're doing it. They're preparing, but it doesn't really count. I never watch a preseason guy. I'm a sports guy. I like football. I will never watch preseason because they're doing what they're going to do in the regular season, but it doesn't count. If they win by 100, they lose. It doesn't really count. And that's what John the Baptist is saying. I'm just preparing the people for the true baptism, for the baptism of repentance, for transformational baptism. When a person comes to know Christ, then they go down in the water to say, I'm dead to self. I'm dead to religion. I'm dead to works. I'm dead to the law. And I come up new life in Christ under the grace of God, not frustrating the grace of God anymore, because I've beheld the Lamb of God who's taken away my sin. So, John the Baptist continues. He says, he it is who is coming after me is before preferred before me, whose shoe latch it I'm not worthy to unloose. The lowest job for the lowest servant. That's what that was. See, we are not too good to do anything. Change garbages, clean toilets. That's a true man and woman of God. Those that will do anything. No job is too low. Why? Because you're doing it for the Lamb of God. You've beheld the Lamb of God. You have seen him. The eyes of your heart. And it's a service of gratitude, whether it's leading worship or preaching or teaching or ushering or taking the offering. Nothing is too low. Nothing is too low. How can you be a pastor? How can you be a preacher, but you won't go to certain venues because there's not enough people? Really? Because they're not giving you an honorarium? That astounds me. Absolutely astounds me. That is not the heart of God. Not the heart of God. No. We're bond slaves. We're bond servants for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy of the lowest job of the lowest slave. That's a man of God right there. That's who you want to serve. Why do you think people were coming out to see him, by the way? Why do you think they were coming? They were coming out to see him because they knew something was different. He was alive. It's not religion. This man is pointing to life. He's pointing to the light that's about to come on the scene and give life unto men. Not just dead religion. It's not a factory. I pray that Spencer Port Bible Church never becomes a factory. You know, 10:45, punch in, bup, 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 this, bup, 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 bup. There's no intimacy. There's no relationship, vertically or horizontal. It's just, now it's a machine, and you can't derail the machine. And we're going to talk about this more, God willing, on New Year's Eve morning. The vision of SBC, building with thanksgiving. And it'll be biblical. And some of the things I've already alluded to. Do you know, if you follow the Bible, you'll be fine. You realize that. If you follow the culture, you're going to be in big trouble. You follow the way of the world, you're going to be in big trouble. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. It's a runaway train, and you can't derail it. And I see it in churches all over. You can't stop the train. Because what happens? If you stop the train, the people get off. Because they're so used to the locomotive doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. We can't stop it. We got to appease the people. Well, John the Baptist was in the wilderness. And people were coming because there was life in it. And people were coming because he had the real message that the Lamb of God was coming, that we had to prepare for him. People know the difference. Organic preservatives, they know the difference. The spirit, the flesh, they know. God's people know. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." It says in verse 28, "These things were done Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Verse 29, here it is. Here's the big moment. He says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." One of the most powerful statements ever uttered by a man. Just a man. That God used just like you and I. And you know how else he was a man? John the Baptist, do you remember? Maybe he lied. And he certainly doubted. Remember when he was in prison? You'd have doubts too, because when trials come, when difficulties come, our human nature is to start looking around us rather than looking above. And what did he say? When he said, can you, he called one of his disciples, John, said, "Can you go find out," I'm paraphrasing, "can you go find out actually if this is really the Lamb?" This is after this baptism. This is after Jesus coming on the scene. Well, why is he doubting now? You probably would be too if you were behind bars about to be beheaded. So what does Jesus say in Luke 7:22? "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Now listen, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Oh, how happy, divinely favored is he or she that is not offended in me. And this Christmas season, you have an opportunity not to be offended by the Lamb of God. You can be offended, or you can offend. There's always a possibility that you're going to offend a family member or friend if you talk about the Lamb of God. Always. And Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Remember I told you about the nice young man, and I still got to get together with him, and I mean it. Came up to me and said, "Hey, do you got a second? Jesus loves you. He has a great plan for your life." Well, if you say that to your family, they'll probably be like, "Oh, thank you. Is he like Santa Claus? Because it is Christmas time." No. This is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Straight is the narrow. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that enters into eternal life. Few there be that find it. Many are called, few are chosen. Unless you love me more than your mother, father, sister, brother, your own life, you're not worthy of me. Complete devotion. Complete devotion. All in. Not 90%. You're not offended of the Lamb of God. So if you're not offended of the Lamb of God, you share the news about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Even though your heart's racing, even though you stutter, even though you feel uncomfortable, try it. You'll be amazed at what happens. This is the season for it. Where you behold, you see. It means to see. A day. It's used as an interjection. That's what it means. Behold the Lamb, the sacrificial one. The one, Isaiah 53:7 says, a lamb led to the slaughter as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. Behold the Lamb of who, God? What's his mission? Takes away the sin of the world. That was his mission, to destroy the works of the devil, Jesus said. Repent and believe the gospel, Jesus said when he started his earthly mission. This is the one you and I remember and live for each day of our lives. And this is a time in the world when people come into places like this not expecting much to happen. And can I tell you something? If we just give them religion, nothing will happen. But if you say, behold the Lamb of God, you'll see lives change. If you point them to the Lamb, you'll see lives change. I told you, a good friend of mine, he's been, by choice, living out of his car for about the last 4 years. By choice. Just has a sign. Says Jesus or Jesus saves. And I wish I got this line that he has, because I've borrowed it from him many times, but it comes from God, the Holy Spirit. And people ask him, how many souls have you led to Christ? He says, all of them. Just like John the Baptist. You just point people to Christ. You cannot save. Only the Lamb can save. You cast the seed. You point them to Christ. You say, make your path straight. Christ is coming back. Now, some of you are going to get, again, every time I say these things, I'm careful and cautious because I don't want you to think that I'm a spiritual spook, because I'm not. But there was a man, and I've never done this before, it was on my heart very strong, it wouldn't go away. And I had an interaction with this man, I couldn't get him off my mind. And you might think this sounds radical and wrong, but I'm telling you, I trust that it's the Lord. And I did it in a way that I believe is palatable. I said, hey, so-and-so, just so you know, I pray you repent, believe the gospel. You don't have a lot of time left. I didn't know the man very well, but that was just so strong in my soul and my heart to do. I didn't hear from him after that. But you know what? Sometimes you got to say the hard things to people. Remember what Jesus did, John chapter 6, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. Many of the disciples put their head down, took off. So this is a hard saying. How are we going to do this? See, they were religious people. They were thinking religion. You mean we have to eat your... No, not cannibal. You need to believe by faith in the Lamb of God that will be sacrificed for you on the cross, the broken body, the shed blood. That's what I'm speaking of. The words I speak are spirit and they are life. And then he looks over at Pete, short for Peter. He says, what about you, Peter? What are you going to do? Peter says, Lord, where am I going to go? You have the words of life. Do you know everybody is in that position of Peter this holiday season? Where are they going to go? If we don't say, behold the Lamb of God, see, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Where are they going to go? Here's the answer. Hell. Hell. Yes, that Jesus speaks of. He says, don't fear people. That's just your body. I can cast the soul into hell. Jesus says this. He says, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys. Not a candy cane. Not a stocking. Those things are all nice. I'm going to give you the keys to heaven, and those people that you only see once a year, pray for that opportunity to give them the keys. Pray to give them the opportunity to behold the Lamb of God who can take away the sin of the world. The sacrificial one. That's the message of Christmas, to behold the Lamb of God. See, every vision that we are given should be His vision. You say, but I'm just a carpenter. Well, how can you be a Christian carpenter? How can you bring Christ into your carpentry business? You say, well, I just work in a restaurant. How can you bring Christ into your restaurant? Do you know what my CPR, some of you don't know this. People actually think that I live on like a pastor salary or something. That doesn't work like that, okay? So I have this small safety training business where I train people in CPR and stuff like this. The reason it's called Ready to Respond is because many years ago, back in 2008, I named it Ready to Respond. I put this big John 3:16. I was actually more zealous back then, less knowledge. I put this big John 3:16, Ready to Respond. And what I called it, my intent was Ready to Respond to the Gospel. So I would teach CPR, and at the end, without anybody knowing it, I would say, I just ask for a few of your moments, please, just a few moments. And I would share the gospel with them. Well, guess what? Some of them were very, very offended. And the Lord showed me over time. He tempered me, started to take the bucking bronco away and just settle me a little bit and say, whoa, hold on. I gave this to you as a business. The ministry will naturally come out. So now, same thing. My John 3:16 is there. It's a little bit smaller, right? Because you have to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Because He sends you forth as sheep amongst wolves. You have to use wisdom. It's a principle thing. So that zeal, which is really good, guys burning with zeal, but like they burn people up around them because they have so much. Temper it. Have some knowledge of God's word so you're not just like scorching people, right? Remember the disciples? Hey, Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven? He's like, whoa, hold on a second. Why do you think I'm here? I didn't come to destroy lives, to save them. Be mindful of that. This Christmas, be mindful that you're not bringing out your Christian gospel guns. Here we go. Get in position. Here comes the aunt, so-and-so. All right, guys, here we go. It's time. Pray. I want you to know some of you are going to go to hell. Be careful. I'm just telling you what I used to do, okay? And God still uses it. He still uses it somehow. That's what amazes me. But we do it with the love of God, grace and truth, speaking the truth how? In love. People hear your spirit. I promise you this. When John the Baptist, that one voice, was proclaiming that one message, people heard God in that message. I'm not going to try to, I know he was lifting up his voice. They heard God. That's what was drawing them. They didn't hear hate. They heard brokenness. They heard compassion. They heard love. They heard longing for people to know the truth. I promise you. According to God's word. And we have to be the same way. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. Now listen, for he was before me. What? Yeah, explain this. Explain this to people. John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the word, logos, that's Jesus. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The same was in the beginning with who? God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It's an opportunity for you to explain. See, people, I was talking to somebody. If I say to somebody, hey, didn't you know Jesus was in the bosom of the Father? They'd say, what? What's a bosom? I mean, there's terms out now. I don't know what they mean. I have to look them up. I just looked one up the other day. I was really disappointed in what it meant. I got duped by, we'll just say, some younger people. I'll leave it at that. I mean, when you tell somebody that they're lascivious, they don't know what you mean. I'm not disrespecting the KJV. I love you realize I use the KJV every week, right? What I'm saying is we live in 2023, almost 2024. Let people eat at the table. Don't put things way up here where they can't understand it. Communicate God's word, directed by God's Spirit, in a way that they could take it and eat of God's table this Christmas season. Amen? The Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That's what Christmas is all about. You say, what do you mean? I thought it was about his birth. Yes, he was born to die for you and I. It's time now. The gifts are nice. I'm actually enjoying this holiday. I've been growing in it. I was talking with a fellow pastor friend yesterday, and he was telling him about Christmas and my thoughts in the past. He goes, yeah, my dad's a pastor. He goes, he didn't do anything for 5 years as a pastor. He didn't do a tree, didn't do this. And then he's like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a pastor. See, again, religion, without even knowing it. He was a without, and then all, he changed. He realized, hold on a second. I mean, how is that an outreach? Be the Grinch? That doesn't work like that. There's no love in the Grinch. Okay? So this Christmas season, we pray, we prepare, we proclaim in love and truth when God puts those opportunities before us. I was at a last thing, testimony. I think it was last weekend. I was at a Christmas party. There was only one guy there. I really didn't talk. I didn't know much. So I sat down next to him. And I didn't just start by saying, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Then you need to come to the cross. No. I started talking to him, just regular life. What do you do for work? Where are you from? This and that. And then you just put that little seat out there. And wouldn't you know, halfway through the conversation, I saw this guy's eyes welling up with tears. He had some roots, but he had been turned off by religion. So I was trying to explain to him the grace of God, the goodness of God that leads to repentance. No matter how far away you go, see, that's where people get trapped. They think they're not good enough. I've done the worst thing possible. No, you haven't. The worst thing you can do is deny Jesus Christ and then take your last breath on this earth. That's the worst thing you could do. Anything else, you'll be forgiven. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. God continues to call you. You continue to say, nope. And then time is up. That's the only thing that God won't forgive. Everything else, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name to come before you and to worship you. We know that your words are spirit and truth. God, we know that there'll be opportunities this Christmas season that you put before us. Help us to be prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ in a way that would bring glory to you and that would harvest a soul, God. Make things new. Change hearts, Lord. Change lives this Christmas season, Lord. And even here in SBC, that people would just be filled with the Spirit of God and that love and joy and peace and would be beaming out of their eyes and their face. That people would see Christ, hear Christ, and know Christ through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.